Imagine trying to build like a microscopic Swiss watch, right? But there is a massive catch.
Oh, there's always a catch.
Right. You have to build this tiny watch inside a 500,000 square foot concrete fortress,
Wow.
and you have to keep the entire building cooled to near absolute zero. Oh, and if a semi truck happens to drive by on the highway outside and rattles the floor by even a fraction of a millimeter, your entire multi-million dollar product just instantly shatters.
Jeez. Yeah, it sounds like science fiction, but that is literally the physical reality of the quantum computing boom we are living through right now.
It really is. Welcome to the deep dive, everyone. Today, our mission is to unpack this fascinating structural shift that's happening right now in the American Southwest.
Yeah, specifically looking at a June 1st, 2026 economic briefing from the Sandoval Economic Alliance.
Exactly. Because this briefing, it completely shatters our traditional understanding of industrial real estate. We are basically watching the definition of a tech hub physically transform from these sleek, glassy office parks into heavy, specialized industrial fortresses.
Right, it's not about beanbag chairs and ping pong tables anymore.
No, definitely not. So if you think of a regional economy like a computer, right? For decades, industrial real estate was just looking for a bigger hard drive.
Yeah, just more cheap space. Give me a flat piece of dirt and a highway to store my stuff, you know?
Exactly. But today, we are watching this region physically upgrade its entire architecture to a high-speed, quantum-powered, solid-state drive. And that is what we are digging into today.
And, for anyone listening to us right now, whether you are a corporate site selector, maybe a tech executive mapping out a future supply chain, or if you're just fascinated by how the next technological century is literally being poured into concrete, this matters to you.
It really does.
Because understanding this blueprint, it reveals exactly where the next generation of economic centers of gravity are forming.
So, to understand how this futuristic tech gets built, you first have to understand how massive, highly specialized components are moved, right?
Right, because you can't build the future if the parts get stuck in traffic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which leads us directly into this first massive state initiative down there. The state passed House Bill 19, which established the Trade Ports Development Act.
Yeah, and this is huge. The state is essentially constructing these high-capacity, public-private, multimodal logistics hubs. They're formally calling them trade port districts.
Okay, but to even get that designation in Sandoval County, specifically on the Northern Mesa, the criteria are just brutal, aren't
Oh,
they?
yeah. You need immediate proximity to Interstate 25. You need Class 1 rail corridors linking directly back to the West Coast ports.
Wow, okay.
And it doesn't stop there. You have to have foreign trade zone customs integration layered right on top of it. Plus, you need complete site readiness.
Meaning what exactly? Like the land is just there.
More than just there, it means massive acreage that is already pre-buffered and zoned alongside a really dense workforce.
Okay, wait, hold on a second. I have to play the skeptic here because when I hear the word port, I am looking for cargo ships. I want ocean water.
Sure, yeah.
We are talking about New Mexico. It is a landlocked desert state. How on earth are they building a trade port without a coastline?
I know it sounds totally contradictory, but it actually requires a total shift in how we visualize global trade. We are talking about an inland multimodal hub.
Inland hub. Okay, explain that.
So if you look at the chronic bottlenecks at traditional coastal seaports, I mean, the cargo ships back up, right? The containers sit in massive stacks waiting for customs clearance.
Right, we've all seen those pictures of the massive pileups.
Exactly. And then they sit there waiting for a truck chassis. But the Trade Ports Development Act bypasses that entirely. It is essentially building a fast pass lane at a theme park, but for global freight.
Oh, wow. So instead of waiting at the gate in California with everyone else, your cargo scans its fast pass, skips the line, and just moves directly into the interior of the country.
Yes, exactly. The freight comes off the ocean, goes straight onto the Class 1 rail, which gives you that really high capacity, long haul velocity, and moves directly inland.
That makes a lot of sense.
It arrives at this pre-cleared massive facility in Sandoval County and is processed instantly because it has that foreign trade zone designation integrated directly into the physical site.
So they don't even have to deal with customs delays at the border.
Nope. Companies are deferring or just entirely eliminating customs duties while moving at a staggering supply chain velocity. It is a completely frictionless environment built on dry land.
That is wild. And that site readiness requirement we mentioned earlier, that means the logistics operator isn't spending like 3 years tied up in city council meetings arguing over zoning, right?
Oh, right. Or fighting to get basic water and power lines dragged miles out into the desert.
Yeah, so the state is basically eliminating all the standard engineering and pre-construction delays, which pulls a massive amount of upfront capital risk off the table for developers.
And that's speed to market. Mm-hmm. That is the absolute holy grail for a logistics operator. They can literally plug right into the grid and start moving volume almost immediately.
Okay, so we've essentially built this frictionless logistics superhighway in the desert. But, I mean, building the road is kind of the easy part, right?
Yeah.
The real question is, what is so sensitive and so incredibly valuable that it requires a custom-built fast pass lane to move it?
And that is exactly where the deep tech anchor comes into play.
Yeah.
Because the sheer speed of the quantum hardware boom happening in New Mexico right now is just staggering.
It is moving incredibly fast. So, for context, New Mexico recently secured the Colorado-New Mexico Joint Regional Quantum Tech Hub designation from the federal government.
Right, which is a big deal on its own.
It is, but rather than just sitting on that title, you know, just putting out a nice press release and calling it a day, the state actually deployed a $25 million investment.
Yeah, real money.
Exactly, to launch the New Mexico Quantum Venture Studio.
And the strategy there is so smart. They want to take all these theoretical, highly complex scientific breakthroughs happening at Sandia and Los Alamos National Laboratories and drag them across the Valley of Death into actual, scalable commercialization.
And the market is responding, right? I mean, look at the timeline.
Over just a 24-month window, five major quantum hardware and photonics firms have dropped anchor in the region.
That's crazy fast.
It really is. We're talking about heavyweights in the industry like Quantinuum, Quorera, and Mesa Quantum.
But here is the thing that really stands out to me. Moving from the laboratory into high-volume manufacturing, it creates a severe, immediate infrastructure challenge.
Severe is the right word. Because you cannot scale a quantum hardware startup inside a typical commercial office park. The environmental demands of this technology are just way too extreme.
Right. This goes back to our Swiss watch analogy at the top of the deep dive. It is this bizarre contradiction between the microscopic, almost invisible nature of quantum computing and the massive, heavy physical footprint it actually demands.
Yeah, you are dealing with subatomic particles and virtual qubits. But to keep them stable, the engineering requirements read like a supervillain's underground lair.
Yes, they really do. I mean, they need dedicated semiconductor clean rooms, right?
Right. And massive utility infrastructure.
Yes.
Just for cryogenic cooling. Plus, these incredibly advanced vibration-isolated foundations.
Okay, let's break that down for everyone. Let's start with the physical isolation, because the mechanics of why that is so critical are just fascinating.
Oh, absolutely. So a qubit, which is the basic unit of quantum information, is incredibly fragile. It exists in this delicate state of superposition.
And if you disturb it even a little bit.
Exactly. If the ambient temperature fluctuates by even a fraction of a degree, or if there is the slightest microvibration, the quantum state just collapses. You lose the data. It's gone.
So how do you prevent, like, a delivery truck driving by outside on the highway from ruining a multi-million dollar computation?
You essentially have to separate the building from the earth it sits on.
Wait, literally?
Literally. They engineer these custom concrete slabs that float independently of the surrounding structure. They drive massive pylons super deep into the bedrock, pour a highly specialized foundation on top of those pylons, and then they leave a physical gap between that floor and the walls of the facility.
Oh, wow. So they aren't even touching.
Right. So the building's outer shell takes the hit from the wind or the traffic vibrations, but that energy never actually transfers to the floating slab where the quantum arrays are sitting.
That is wild engineering. And then on top of all that, you have the thermal challenge.
Right. The cooling.
Yeah. To keep those qubits stable, these arrays have to be cooled to near absolute zero, which, just to be clear, is colder than the vacuum of deep space.
Yeah. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It never stops.
The amount of electricity required just to run those cryogenic cooling systems and the infrastructure you need just to shed the massive amount of exhaust heat they generate, it is mind-boggling.
Which is exactly why you simply cannot retrofit some downtown office building to handle that kind of load. Mm. The floor would physically collapse under the weight of the cooling equipment alone.
Right.
And even if it didn't, you would brown out the entire city block just trying to power the thing. It explicitly demands pre-zoned heavy industrial scale acreage. You need low-cost, high-capacity utility lines already trenched and ready to go.
Which brings us right back to the Northern Mesa in Rio Rancho.
Exactly. Everything converges here.
You have the massive high-speed logistics framework of the trade ports on one hand, and then you have the delicate, highly intense physical demands of the Quantum Venture Studio on the other.
Mm-hmm.
And the real economic magic, the aha moment for anyone listening, is where these two forces physically collide on the map.
Because advanced manufacturing, it doesn't happen in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
You can have the most stable floating concrete slab and the most pristine clean room in the entire world, but an elite photonics or aerospace facility still needs raw materials to actually function.
Right. They can't just manifest parts out of thin air.
Right. It requires highly specialized incoming components. And crucially, it needs a secure, frictionless way to ship its outgoing products to the market.
So if you look at the geography of Rio Rancho's business resources, the Northern Mesa offers this vast acreage that is perfectly suited for a heavy logistics trade port. But the key detail in the briefing is that this site sits less than an hour away from the state's primary quantum commercialization hubs.
Which is strategic, not an accident.
Exactly. But let me play devil's advocate with you for a second. Let's say I am a major semiconductor supplier or a big defense contractor. Does an extra 2 hours on a delivery truck really matter? Like, why is being specifically less than an hour away such a massive game-changing advantage?
Think about the physics of what we just discussed.
Right.
The floating slabs, the fragility. We are talking about the concept of transport latency.
Transport latency. Okay.
Every single additional hour that a highly sensitive multi-million-dollar photonics lens or some classified aerospace component spends vibrating on the back of a truck chassis. It introduces friction.
Oh, I see.
It introduces security risks for defense contractors.
Yeah.
And honestly, it drives up insurance costs exponentially.
Because the longer it is in motion, the more liability you carry. If it breaks on the truck, it's millions of dollars down the drain.
Absolutely. Operational velocity is the metric that matters most here. When a company can position itself at the nexus of these two movements, sitting less than an hour from the national labs, but directly integrated into a certified trade port district, they essentially eliminate that transport latency.
They just bypass the risk entirely.
Yes. They synchronize the speed of their high-tech manufacturing directly with their logistics pipeline. The parts aren't delayed in customs, and the finished, fragile products aren't sitting vulnerable in long-haul transit for days.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
And that total elimination of friction drastically alters regional real estate values. Finding that kind of operational velocity combined with heavy utility capacity in one single geographic spot is incredibly rare.
It really is. But, you know, there is one more massive piece to this puzzle.
Right. Because you've got the vibration-proof fortress, you've got the cryogenics, and you've got the high-speed railway dropping materials right at the front door. But all of that heavy infrastructure is completely useless without the human beings required to actually run the machinery.
You still need people. And the intersection of trade port logistics and quantum engineering demands a highly, highly specific labor pool.
Yeah, we aren't talking about general warehouse fulfillment workers here.
No, not at all. Operating these facilities requires automated systems technicians, precision electrical engineers, and, like, specialists who actually know how to manage proprietary robotics inside a semiconductor cleanroom without contaminating the environment.
Which is incredibly niche. But the briefing points out that Central New Mexico Community College CNM and the University of New Mexico UNM, they are actively deploying specialized training labs right now to meet this demand.
Yeah. And the regional technical skill density is already tracking at twice the national average, which is huge.
Okay, but again, devil's advocate. Every single city council and economic development board in the country claims they have a world-class workforce in their marketing pitch. It's almost a cliche at this point. So what makes this specific data point an actual reality rather than just a nice glossy brochure?
It's a fair question. What separates this from generic marketing is the actual mechanism they are using, which is targeted educational integration. What CNM and UNM are doing isn't just offering some broad theoretical engineering degree and, you know, hoping their graduates figure it out once they get hired.
Right, hoping for the best.
Yeah. Instead, they are actively coordinating the deployment of these training labs with the incoming tech and logistics sectors directly.
So they are basically reverse engineering the college curriculum based on exactly what Quantinuum or Quera is going to need on their factory floor in like 24 months.
Precisely. Think about what that looks like in practice. On a random Tuesday morning, a student isn't just sitting in a lecture hall reading a textbook about electrical engineering.
Right.
They are physically standing inside a replica clean room, right there on campus. They are wearing the full protective suit, practicing on the exact proprietary robotics and atmospheric controls they will use on their very first day of work at the Tradeport.
That is incredible. Because for an employer expanding into Rio Rancho, that translates directly to operational stability from day one. You aren't forced into this crazy bidding war trying to import a workforce from Silicon Valley or Boston.
Which is the nightmare.
Oh, it really is. Instead, you're tapping into a local market with twice the national average of technical skill density that has been custom calibrated for your exact facility.
And that creates a completely closed-loop ecosystem. I mean, look at the big picture. The state funds the logistics fast pass lane, right?
Yeah.
They fund the quantum commercialization bridge. They prep the massive industrial mesa to handle the crazy physical utilities. And then the local higher education system builds the exact human pipeline needed to operate all of it.
It's totally integrated.
Yeah. When you step back and look at all those factors compounding on each other, you really start to understand why the structural mechanics of the Southwest are fundamentally shifting.
It really changes how you view a map. I mean, we've seen how the very definition of industrial land has totally transformed. The Northern Mesa in Sandoval County isn't just some alternative site layout for a company looking for cheaper rent anymore.
No, not at all.
It is physically engineered to be the strategic center of gravity for high consequence industry.
Exactly. And for you listening, understanding how these converging factors overlap, the state funding, the specialized physical infrastructure, the high velocity logistics, and that targeted education, it gives you a much sharper lens for viewing global economic development.
You start looking past the surface.
Right. The next time you see a massive new tech hub announced in the headlines, you now know to look past the PR fluff. You know to ask the hard questions. Where is their inland trade port? Do they actually have the utility grid to support the cryogenics? And where is the targeted talent pipeline being trained?
Yeah, you realize you're actually looking at the motherboard of that giant computer we talked about at the beginning. But as we wrap up today, here is a final provocative thought for you to take away and just mull over on your own.
Ooh.
We've spent a lot of time today exploring how intense the physical demands are for these quantum facilities, especially that absolute need for constant massive power loads just to run that cryogenic cooling so those fragile qubits don't collapse.
Right? Yeah, the power draw is staggering.
So it really makes you wonder, as quantum computing inevitably scales up globally to eventually solve our most complex world-altering problems, how will the basic electrical grids of the world have to radically reinvent themselves just to keep these new quantum SSD engines from overheating?
That is a fascinating question.
It really makes you think about what the next massive infrastructure leap has to be. But that is all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll catch you next time.